are going to, in addition to Obama's 1 million-man army that he's going to work on and the FEMA Corps of Homeland Youth, where were they to help the people with the hurricane with Sandy? It's all about power, and it's all about God's correction for this nation turning its back on God. That's what it's all about. And remember a paramount important truth. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political means. Impossible. Can never do it. Okay? Now, here's a very interesting one. New global monetary system. We'll talk a little later about the mark of the beast. I think all of us better be prepared for the government falling off the fiscal cliff. And that means you better have some extra food, extra water, extra money, because it may get very, very serious. Let's see what else I have here. Okay, concerning the mark of the beast, we'll cover it a little bit later. How many have seen the recent ad on television, Cash Anywhere? You haven't? Well, it's a new way. No, it is pay anywhere. Pay anywhere, not cash anywhere, pay anywhere. And you put a little attachment to your cell phone, and you can slide your card through, your card, not your car. You can slide your card through and transfer funds. Well, in Kenya, they have something better. They have it right on the cell phone. And the cell phone becomes their source of banking. And the buildings called banks are obsolete in Kenya. So it's coming. The whole financial system is developing. So they called this cutting out the middleman, and here's quite a lengthy article. And it shows that in Kenya, they're overcoming the problem of money and cash by cell phones. Now, keep in mind, cell phones and smartphones, okay? Because there will be some important things to come with that. The decline of Christianity in Austria, Eastern faiths are taking over. We have decline of Christianity here. And we have America's most biblical hostile president, where it lists four pages of acts that our illustrious president has done against Christianity, all forms of it. Here's another article. FBI begins installation of $1 billion face recognition system across America. Mine always breaks the camera. Okay. They also are developing a system where they can, when people coming in the airport, when people are coming to go through security, to go on an airplane, it also analyzes your heart rate, your blood temperature, and your adrenal output, and you become a target, a suspect. Okay? And here's an article. 29 signs that the elite are transforming society into a total domination control grid. Won't have time to go through this. If you get your news just from the television, or even Fox News is going down the drain, in my opinion, you're not getting the news. If you're online, make sure you get some news from different sources, okay? For example, how many have heard of the tax rate in Holland? They raised it on the rich to 75%, so they're moving to Belgium. They raised the tax on the rich in England to 50%, and they're moving. So what happens, you see, those who think that there is just a set amount of money in the economy do not understand economy. And government stimulation does not work like private development. Now, economically speaking, when a dollar is generated in agriculture, it changes hands seven times. In other words, there's seven times more money by changing hands and moving from one person, company, etc., to another. When you have it with manufacturing, it is five times. So then you have five times the money. Okay? When it comes from government, it is 2.5 times. So any government stimulation reduces the amount of times that the money is circulated, you see. So therefore, you reduce the effect of the amount of money available for buying and selling in the economy. Now, likewise, when you tax, you take money out and give it to the government, and that is sure sign of total disaster. All right? They're going to keep watch on you and your home. Samsung has a new video. They can hear you. They can see you while you're watching television. All right? Synthetic biologists clone children, hand-picked genes right around the corner. Then here's an article, Requiem for America. Here's another article. How many have heard of the secessionist movement across the U.S.? 25 states want to secede. How's that for a good way to destroy a country? Okay. Here's another article from a Russian newspaper. American capitalism gone with a whimper. Now, here's one. I don't know how many of you have heard this one. But this one here is, Ugandan president repents of personal and national sins. How many have heard of that one? Some few. Okay? He celebrated the 50th anniversary of from independence from Britain with a national jubilee prayer event by publicly repenting of his personal sins and sins of the nation. I stand here today to close the evil past and especially the last 50 years of our national leadership history, and at the threshold of a new dispensation in the life of this nation, I stand here on my own behalf and on behalf of my predecessors to repent and to ask your forgiveness. We confess these sins. We have greatly hampered our national cohesion and delayed our political, social, and economic transformation. We confess our sins of idolatry and witchcraft, which are rampant in our land. We confess the sins of shedding innocent blood, sins of political hypocrisy, dishonesty, intrigue, and betrayal. Forgive us of sins of pride, tribalism, sectarianism, sins of laziness and indifference, irresponsibility, sins of corruption and bribery that have eroded our national resources, sins of sexual immorality, drunkenness, debauchery, sins of unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, revenge, sins of injustice, oppression, and exploitation, sins of rebellion and insubordination, strife, and conflict. Now, that should happen here. Then he said, we want to dedicate this nation to you, that is to God, that you will be our God and guide. We want Uganda to be known as a nation that fears God, as a nation whose foundations are firmly rooted in righteousness and justice to fulfill what the Bible says in Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, a people you have chosen as your own. You never know what's going to happen. Well, he could never read that. Okay. Now let's come to Mark 13. Mark 13. Now, this is what our news is going to be. And remember Deuteronomy 28. All of the cursings are coming upon us one after the other, and they will be very difficult to bear. The way things look right now, as I said in one of my recent letters, you need to be prepared for a 40% increase in your taxes, period. Okay? And yet that won't solve the problem, because the problems are the sins of the people, the very ones that the Ugandan president has led the nation in repentance for. So here we have And it's very interesting. Stop and think about it. How many here have a cell phone? Okay. They're all going to smartphones. What can you watch on a smartphone? What was that?
Smart things.
The smartphone is only smart if it has a live battery in it, right? Yes. Okay. They have it so they can do almost everything on it, and in Kenya they can do their transacting just by touching phones. You can set it up, you can transfer it, you can have the sign with their fingernail, okay? And the funds go instantly from one account to another account because it's digital. But is that the purpose of cell phones, smartphones? Let's read two scriptures here. Let's read one in Mark 13 and verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations, and that has been being done in a tremendous way. Then we know in Matthew 24 it says, and this gospel must be preached in all the world as a witness, then the end shall come. All the world to all nations. Now when they read these things back in the first century, they could not comprehend the whole world. They could not comprehend all nations. They had absolutely no understanding how long it was going to be until Jesus would return. And when they first read Revelation 13, which we'll read a little bit later about the mark of the beast, I don't think they had a clue as to what that could possibly be. And I think it is true that when John first presented the book of Revelation, that some of the churches didn't want to accept it because it made absolutely no sense. Well, at that time it didn't, because that was for 2,000 years later. All right, let's put it all together then. A witness means you must have heard that it is going to happen, right? Published among all nations means the Bible has to be there in all nations available. Now, how is it available? Well, I talked to a woman this morning who had true confession with me, which said that she uses her iPad all the time as her Bible, which is fine. But what I want you to understand is this. You can now download on a smartphone, in addition to sports, you can download the Bible, the New Testament, any verse that you want. You can get news from any source that you want. You can see the things happening instantly around the world everywhere. And I believe, so I'm not going to ring the cowbell because I think it's true, that God has caused all of this technology for this very age. So there would be no one who could say, oh, Lord, you didn't tell me. It's going to be there. Now, we've done the same thing with the Bible. We have it for eSony. We have it for iPad. And we have it for the iPhone and Kindle. Yes. However, remember when the electricity went out for 2 weeks? You got to have this. So pretty soon we're going to work up a whole package where you can get it all, the Bible and whatever digital version that you want. At the present time, we send out with the Bible that booklet on the tribute to William Tyndale. And we send out the CD with the whole Bible PDF. Okay? Now, here's what also is going to happen. Let's back up here and see. Mark 13 and verse 5. Now let's understand, there's a first fulfillment covering the destruction of Jerusalem. Then there are cycles down through history that these things continue until the end time. Okay? Now at the end time, when it is a whole worldwide thing, there is the broad application of this to everywhere in the world. See, because God is going, and the return of Christ is going to be so fantastic, it is going to be absolutely incredible. There isn't going to be any secret rapture. They're all going to be standing out there on the big rock saying, Lord, take me. And they ain't going up. See? But look at what it says here. Think about it today. They wanted to know when these things would be. Verse 5 now. Jesus, in answering them, began to say, be on guard lest anyone deceive you. Think of what has happened to Christianity even at the beginning of the New Testament church. You had those that the disciples came and said, Lord, we saw two men casting out demons in your name, and we forbade them. He said, don't forbid them. Anyone who is for us is on our part. But that doesn't mean they're converted. See? Then we have those who were direct false prophets. The first major one that we had was Simon Magus. So you see, being a true Christian, even down through history, is not for sissies. It's not for cowards. You have to have the strength of God. You have to have the conviction of belief. You have to have the stability of faith. You have to have the love of God. You have to have the determination that you know and have proved what is right. Now that's how we stand on guard, that no one deceive us, because many will come and say, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Now a little sidebar. Last night I was driving back to the hotel, and that was about 5:30, somewhere around there. And I turned on the radio, and here's this religious broadcast. And he says, when are you going to accept the grace of God and quit trying to earn salvation? So for the helpers class tomorrow, we'll go over the answer for that. See, one clue. If you try and earn it, it is through your works. If you love God and keep his commandments, those are his works in your life. You see? So what he's saying is a great deception, because they try and earn it through Sunday keeping and Christmas and Easter and all the other stuff, you see. So some of these deceptions are so clever that we have really got to be on top of it. And so Randy now knows what I'm going to be covering on Church at Home. Okay? All right, verse 7. Wars, rumors of wars. Do not be troubled. It's necessary. These things will take place. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in different places, famines, disasters. These things are the beginning of sorrows. But keep yourself on guard. Now, this will happen. I can see it happening in the not too far distant future. For they shall deliver you up to councils and synagogues. Did they not do that immediately with the apostles? And I love the one in chapter 5 of the book of Acts where they got all the apostles out of the temple, put them into hold for overnight. Angel came and let them out in the morning and said, you go preach in the temple. The Sanhedrin sent the captain of the guards to bring them out of the hold, and they weren't there. And someone came running in and said, they're preaching in the temple. How did they get there? And what did they say? They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. All right? Now, be hated by all nations. Okay. Now, let's see an event that we need to look to that is going to happen. Let's look at Jerusalem. Let's come to Luke 21. Now, we're getting close to this. We're getting close to this. I haven't heard the news today, but we'll find out later. But in Luke 21, here's what he said of this. Okay? Luke 21, verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies. Now, anyone here want to emigrate to Jerusalem? No. How close are we to this? Getting there, aren't we? Yes. Then know that her desolation draws near. That happened with the Romans. They came. They encircled it. They withdrew. and let 2 million Jews come into Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, resurrounded Jerusalem, and the food supply was diminished to hardly anything, even though they had great stores because they had over 2 million people in Jerusalem. And you can read about the fall of Jerusalem in the book of Josephus. Now, what I want you to see, all of these things were written for our admonition and learning. So I want you to think on this. When we're all jammed in together in these cities, how much food supply is there available to the population? What you have in your house, and if you can get to the supermarket first and load up your basket, and you can fend off everybody else wanting to grab what you have, and you can get home, then you might last a month. But those things can come and bam! You have great trouble, great distress. And of course, remember how loving and kind they are for the doorbuster shopping on Christmas to honor Christ. All right. Now here's why I won't go to the Holy Land. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are within her go out, and let not those in the countries come into her. For these are the days of vengeance. All right. Come back here to Zechariah 12. Very interesting. Now while we're turning to Zechariah 12, I want you to recall the blessing that was given to Esau. Any remember that? Esau would serve Jacob, but in the end, he would break the yoke. And I think that's what we're seeing with the Islamic nations. Now, the king of the north is not here, the king of the south is not here, but they have to have a dominion to take over. So those are being formed. Zechariah 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people all around, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Now it takes just a few seconds for a jet flying west to east to pass over the width of what? 9 miles, 12 miles. The original 67 border was 7 miles. Gone. How many here live more than 7 miles from here? Almost all of you. Think about what it is there. Okay? And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Now, when it says all, in the end times, it means all. Are all people involved in this? Yes, indeed. All who burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, and the end result will be the return of Christ and the seven last plagues, though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness, and I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the people with blindness, and the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the people of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. And they are doing that. I don't know what's going on, but there are reports that every Friday night, Benjamin Netanyahu has Bible studies in his own house. We do not know where that will lead, but if the president of Uganda can repent and lead the nation in repentance, we're going to see the time is going to come right in the midst of all of this, and we will see what's going to be a causing factor here in just a little bit. There will be a great repentance in Israel. Now, we can see some things that may bring it about. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Now, I want you to think about the wars. We had what? The war of 48 and 49? War of 50, what was it, 3? 57? 67? 83? and the continuous wars that we've had now. All right? Now read the next verse. And the governors of Judah, I read that, verse 6 now. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood. Is that what they've been doing? Did they do that to Lebanon? Did they do that to Egypt? Did they do that to the Palestinians? Yes. And like a torch of fire among the sheaves. And they shall devour all the people all around, on the right hand and on the left. And then it gets into the return of Christ and Jerusalem being inhabited again. But notice verse 7. Here's a prophecy that's going to take place. And we know this will take place beginning in Revelation 7, because those who are saved of the 144,000 in Revelation 7 are from the children of Israel, and the first tribe mentioned is what? Judah. Now read it here. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the people of Jerusalem may not be magnified above Judah. And in that day the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it shall be, he who is feeble among them at that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Where is the final battle going to be? Armageddon, the valley of Megiddo, just north of Jerusalem. Now notice verse 10. Here's what God is going to do. You can't live there with all of these things going on and not understand that there is going to come a time when God is going to lead a lot of the Jews to repentance. Okay? And I will pour out upon the house of David, upon the people of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They will recognize that, yes, Jesus was the Christ. When they rejected him, they were cast into outer darkness spiritually and weeping and gnashing of teeth, because rejecting God manifested in the flesh to come and speak to you personally and witness to you personally and be the representative of God among you to fulfill how many prophecies? And they had the scriptures. And with all the witnesses that they had down through time, after they were exiled out of Jerusalem in 70 AD, it has been a very difficult thing, as the prophecies have shown. So here comes a time when it's going to change. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness over him as a bitterness over the firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, family of David apart, their wives apart, the family of Nathan apart. Isn't that interesting? That's the son of David through whom the physical lineage to Jesus came through Mary. And their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi's apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shemi apart, and their wives apart, all the families who remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. And that's going to be a great time when that happens. Now, let's come to Revelation 11, and let's see something that is going to cause this to be. There will be a temple built. It's not going to be a dedicated holy ground. You can know for sure that after the Jews have been exiled into the whole world for so many years, they're not going to settle for a little piece of land where they can put up a little altar. It's going to be a temple. Now, if you haven't heard the sermons that I've given, who are the two witnesses? You have to go back and read Zechariah 3 and Zechariah 4, because the two witnesses will be, number one, the high priest at the coming temple. And he's going to be struck down just like Saul was. Bam! says there in Zechariah 3 that he's like a firebrand plucked out of the fire. And the other one is going to be the governor of Judah. Those two will be the two witnesses. God will select them. They will be there in Jerusalem. They will be there in sackcloth and ashes. And they will have unheralded power given to them by God. And everybody's going to have their cell phones to see what's happening today, right? They're going to know. See? So let's read. I mean, this gets real exciting when you understand it, okay? Now, remember, John lived past the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, correct? Yes. He knew the prophecy of 2 Thessalonians, where Paul wrote that the man of sin, the son of perdition, will stand in the holy place. And that was the time the temple was standing. So when John gets this vision, he knows the temple is demolished. This is about 27 years after its destruction. And just like Jesus said, not one stone upon another. Because there was so much gold and wealth and riches there, when the fire came, melted the gold, and it went down in the cracks of the rocks, and you know how people are fiendishly after gold?
Yeah.
To do exactly what Jesus said? You see, people do things that God wants them to do, and they don't know that God is causing them to do it. Think about the soldiers who were parting the garments and casting lots. They had no idea about God. They just wanted to have it. But God was making those carnal soldiers do his will. See? Now, this is what we have to understand, brethren. We serve a great God. And Christ is returning. And we have a lot of things that God wants his people to do. And so as we see all these things taking place, we need to double down on what we've been doing. We need to rededicate ourselves to really serve God. That's what it says to the Laodiceans, right? Repent and be zealous. All right, now let's read Revelation 11, verse 1. Then the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. But Lord, there is no temple. What does this tell John? There must be a temple built again. But leave out the court that is within the temple area and do not measure it, because it has been given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample upon the holy city 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. They will have power against all the modern weapons. Think of everything that has been invented that they're going to bring to try and get rid of them. Now it identifies them. Verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the God of the earth. And in Daniel, the fourth chapter, there are coming from the throne of God down to those two olive trees olive oil in pipes, symbolizing great power of the Holy Spirit. Now notice what's going to happen. Think about this. Everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody's got a smartphone. The news is going to be centered on Jerusalem, and I think that in the area where the satellites are, I think God is going to keep all the satellites up and active to give himself a witness to every human being. No one's going to say, Lord, I didn't know. He's going to say, you saw it. Verse 5, and if anyone attempts to harm them, fire will go out of their mouths and devour their enemies. If anyone attempts to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Now, how about that? These have authority to shut up heaven so that no rain may fall in the days of their prophecy. They have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they will. They are going to be Moses and Aaron on spiritual steroids. Okay. And when they have completed their testimony, the beast who ascends out of the abyss will make war against them and shall overcome them and will kill them. Now notice, and their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those of the people and the tribes and languages and nations shall see their bodies 3.5 days, for they will not allow their bodies to be buried. How are they going to see them? Right on their smartphone. Can you imagine the newscast for the day that the two witnesses have been killed? Can you imagine what the beast and the false prophet are going to do? And of course, they're coming up against the beast and the false prophet all the time, aren't they? Yes, indeed. There will be a special announcement from the leader of the world. We have defeated those who have been against us. We have finally killed them. And then there will be the report that will come. And then they will have eyewitnesses. Yes, I was standing there. And they finally got them. Really, what was it like? Oh, it was awesome. Okay. Well, 3.5 days later, what's going to happen? The false prophet's going to proclaim a feast. Let's make merry and send presents to everybody. Okay. Then those are the peoples and tribes and languages and nations. Doesn't that include everybody? Not just right there in the Middle East. See, the whole book of Revelation is the whole world. Verse 10. Then those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and will make merry and send gifts to one another because these two prophets had tormented those who dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood on their feet. Remember what the false prophet did with the image of the beast? He made it speak. Now look what God has done to answer that. And great fear fell upon those who were watching. And I heard a great voice from heaven say, "Come up here." And they ascended into the heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them rise, and then the great earthquake, and then the seventh trumpet sounds. So it's going to be something. So when you watch the news, now we'll cover this afternoon, we'll cover a little more concerning the mark of the beast, because that's coming. So let's go ahead and take a break. Randy, lead us in a closing song, and then we'll be ready for our meal. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.